Okay, I'll just leave it to Kate to run through the written questions, and then if you want to come out with an oral question, hold your hand up and I'll bring the mic up.
What is your favourite colour? Just kidding. So first question we've got, these are really good questions, by the way, and it's quite heartening because it actually meant that you were listening. So I wasn't that boring, thank you. What is the demographic of the audience overall, and what is adult improv? So, mainly we have people from, off the top of my head, but I'm pretty good at this, from 40 to 70, late 70s is mainly, and they are mainly Palmerston North. We have, oh jeepers, oh it's that thing. Thought something was crawling on me. They are mainly Palmerston North area. They do come from Kapiti, Wellington, Wairarapa, Whanganui, and then we get the odd... Oh, no, we get quite a few from Hawke's Bay too, and we get the odd, travellers coming through. We actually have a guy tonight coming who is Australian, who tried to see the current show in Australia, but it was sold out, happened to be in Palmerston North for one day, and is coming tonight. So if you're wanting to talk about ethnicity, that's a harder one to try and find out because we end up asking so many questions of our audience that they get sick of having to answer. And sometimes you'll just see that they've just ticked whatever the first thing is just to get through. It's annoying to have to answer questions, I know that, but we have to ask them so that we can prove to our funders that we are viable, valuable. So when people say that they will identify as Māori or Pacifica, when we do put on a Pacifica show, it is really difficult to get that audience in, unless they know. This is the other thing. Yeah, they'll know someone in it. This is the other thing too. Is a lot of the time I'll have people say we don't know what's on, and I find that I understand that, but with our budgets being so small. We are on radio, we are on we are on radio, we are on all the social medias, we do the newspaper, we're on billboards, we've got posters, we've got flyers. It is hard to try and get that message out. So if you see a show and you like it, tell everyone. Everyone. Because that's word of mouth can get that out. So when we put
Catherine, last week I gave a plug for the show on tonight.
Oh, good on her.
And if it's classical Latin, it should be prima facie. But you don't want that, do you?
No.
Is that?
We spoke about that before.
Is that actually how you say it?
I was a Latin teacher, yes.
There you go. Wasn't me. Boss. So, if we're putting on... if we're trying to get into different community groups is always difficult. No matter what. But I don't actually think we're on long enough. Like the season can be long enough for the momentum to build up, for people to want to come and see things. But if we stay open for too long, without people coming, we won't be open at all. Does that somewhat answer the question? I don't know who answered it. Is there much interaction with other venues, drama groups in Palmerston North? Absolutely. We're mates and we look after each other all the time. We're either calling each other to borrow something or lend something or share venue space for rehearsals. The next show that Act 3 Productions, who are fantastic, are putting on, Kinky Boots, they're going into our flat. Into the house because it won't be. We're not using it for a period of time, and we've said you guys have it. So yes, we there's lots of interaction. A lot of our young students who have come through are part of Manawatu Theatre Society or Act 3. Yes.
You mentioned Shakespeare to me when we were talking before.
Oh, he died.
He's not still writing plays.
We can't do a Shakespeare, and we shouldn't. That's the summer Shakespeare. That's their gig. That's why we don't do Matilda or Cats or big musicals, other than the fact we can't afford it. But even if we did put on an open stage, which was Pro-Am, that's their wheelhouse. We don't want to take over that. We're very good at going and knowing who looks after what area of the arts, and not stepping on each other's toes, but holding them up. Does that make sense?
Yep.
The Summer Shakespeare is a fantastic, fantastic event for a lot of people in the community, in the acting community here, who aren't professional and won't get a job at Centrepoint, but that's their outlet, and it's important that they have that, I think. Does that answer that question? I could have just said yes, eh? Just yes. How many staff are employed at Centrepoint, and in what capacities? We have, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 full-timers. So there's me, and I'm the general manager, but I also do the program for each year and oversee all of the staff, do the funding applications, do sponsor management and contracts. Well, it's probably more I do. I wrote an asbestos management plan at one point. That's why I went to drama school. I have a business manager who does all of the finances and pays all the bills and does all of the budgets and looks after the actual building itself. So when that needs, when the leak's happening, he tells us all to grab a bucket. I have a marketing manager who works on marketing all of the shows and all of the events at all times. He also does a lot of the graphic design for things because we can't afford that. So he does a lot of bits and pieces. We have an outreach coordinator, and she is in charge of all of the programs that we do out in the community, and she runs a lot of them too, and the high school theatre sports competition, which is a lot of organising. And she oversees all of the Sunday script sessions, but also the script writing courses and things. I have a production manager who makes sure all the shows happen properly and safely and within budget. And I have a full-time stage manager / tech operator. So there's not two people backstage, there's only one, and she's sitting in the box and she operates all the lights and sound, make sure that the actors turn up on time. And I have a box office manager who sells you tickets. And he maintains our patron base database of all the people and collates all the reports for me of who's coming and the demographics. Gives me all of those bits and pieces so that I can then put them into the reports. And we have a set builder, Harvey, who is gold, who only works when we have the shows to put on. Satisfied? Yes. Oh, and we have a front of house team that just work on at night. Why is it called Centrepoint? One of my favourite questions. So when the board put this whole idea together, they wanted an education arm, a touring arm, and a theatre to be at Centrepoint. We've never toured a show. Can't afford to.
It's a shame that another place in Auckland took that name.
We don't know who they are. Yeah, moving on. Could you give examples of popular shows and the more risky ones? Absolutely. So popular shows generally used to be always a Roger Hall. We'd put on a Sir Roger at the beginning of every year until they sort of started to... the audience got as old as the plays did. And they wouldn't come out. Although there is one that he's just done that I'd like to do next year, which is a sequel to the Come On Black. It's very funny. It's on at Circa, so don't go. Come to our one, which will be the same production. Generally shows that have a smaller cast, because we're not having to pay people. We used to pay people peanuts, and it was so much better. But we could afford it. Generally, a Roger Hall or a comedy or an Alison Quegan show at the end of every year is good. I've written it for the end of this year. because we need... The Christmas show is a very different audience to the beginning of the year show. The Christmas show, I call them, and with no disrespect, but I call them the Tony's Tire Service audience. Because next door, down from the Salvation Army, is Tony's Tire Service. And they used to bring their team every year, and they were the rowdiest bunch. They'd be up and down and in and out and coming in with four or five beers each and yelling out and whatnot, but they loved it. That was their Christmas show, and that's why I call it the Tony's Tire Service audience. They don't go to anything else.
No.
And a more risky show, like I would absolutely love to put on a classic. I really would love to put on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, but it's a cast of nine. Absolutely no way. Something like the one that we've got on at the moment, Primer Facing. It's hard-hitting. It's about sexual abuse. It's hard-hitting. Does that appeal? You know, do you really want to go, oh, cool, let's go out tonight and go... So we don't know. And you never know. Most of them can be a risk, really. Things that we think are going to go gangbusters don't. That's tricky.
So is it working?
We have 89 seats left to sell to make budget.
That's up all right.
Pretty much. And we close end of next week. So it's, so in that in those terms, yes, it's doing well.
They had to go.
Yes and no, I understand that. And this one is, mention the current play. Bad, P.S., there is bad language. Many years ago, I walked out during the play because of this. Fair enough. When it's not warranted, it's just annoying. It's like loud people on telly. You know, don't yell all the time. There's no need for it, she says, yelling. And sometimes I've said to writers, can you cut some of that out? You know, earn it. I actually don't have any right to do that. But I can say I won't put it on. And... That is something that I definitely look at when I'm looking through a script, and I've got to the point now where I will start reading a new script and I go, oh yeah, I know what's happening, go to the middle, yep, thought so, go to the end, yeah, nah. What's next? But give me something interesting. Or if there's too much bad language, it does put people off. Why would I put that on?
It's lazy language.
It is lazy language. Yeah. And then I'm... There's always, though, because that would then become the risk play. Because there's always, what else is there that I haven't done that we can afford? So sometimes you've got to go... last year was a terrible year. I own that. That was a shocker. That program last year was just terrible. But we didn't have a lot of choice. And I'm not making an excuse. I kind of am. But this year... I think it's a better program. And you can hit and miss too sometimes. Especially if you're getting too many new plays. If they're new plays, you don't actually know what they're going to end up like after going through the rehearsal process. Because the writers change things. They say, oh, I don't like that. It's going to go to this. And you're going, no, 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 no. So yeah, tricky. What is... Oh. Said one of them. One here. Do you employ full-time actors apart from your good self? Are there opportunities for a career in acting? Oh. I don't get paid extra if I'm on stage. It's theatre economics. I can't and won't pay myself or even my nephew, who's really good. I don't choose him. And it's unethical because there are other actors out there who need the... work. So if I go on, I'm just getting my normal salary and I do my day job and I go on the stage at night so that we can afford to do the show. So yes, of course we employ other full, not, then nobody's ever full time as an actor, it's just for the show. And I found this actually when I was in the company, the audience sort of got a bit bored with you. They're just, you know, you're seeing the same people all the time. Wouldn't you rather see different people? And I think it's our job at Centrepoint Theatre in this city to bring the rest of the country to the Manawatū, and it's Act 3, the Manawatū Theatre Society, and the Summer Shakespeare. It's their job to put the Manawatū on stage, and it's our job to, because we answer to the industry, it's industry money, right? Creative New Zealand. We also answer to you, but it's our job to bring you as much variety as possible. That's where I think we sit. Anything else?
I've got a question first, and then I'll ask a few. You mentioned the main audience was sort of 40 plus.
Mm.
What if you wanted to target the 20s and 30s?
Oh, they've got no money. They're not going to pay for a ticket. Well, when we had the Dark Room, do you remember the Dark Room?
Yeah.
So that was a smaller venue across the road in Te Manawa.
Yeah.
When we had that, that was more affordable to be able to put on smaller shows for younger audiences. And when I say smaller, they're generally an hour long. I'm talking about length rather than cast size. And that was a really good venue to have to attract that younger audience, right? But then that was owned by Te Manawa. It was costing us $9,000 a year just in rent, and we couldn't afford that. So, and Te Manawa actually needed the space back. It didn't make any sense for them to be paying $10,000 a year to have more space somewhere else when they had that there. So they took that back absolutely fine. It was a wonderful relationship that we had for a long time, and we were very grateful for it. But, you know, things change and they evolve. If we want to attract a younger audience, we have to know... we do actually have a younger audience, especially with all the Sunday script sessions and the other outreach programs that we have. But on main stage, we generally have that audience that can, that has a bit of disposable income to be able to buy a ticket. And if we put on something small, something for a younger audience, we have to know that we can afford that. Some of the kids shows that we'll put on during the day in the holiday, what are they called? You know, the holiday. Yeah, why did that go out of my brain? In the school holidays, they can sometimes lose money because your tickets are $15 or even less. So they can sometimes lose money because we pay the people who put those shows on.
Okay, questions from the audience.
Yeah, can you comment on the reaction from audiences during performances? Many years ago, I think it was last century, my wife and I went to Shirley Valentine. Alison Quiggin was Shirley. We were sitting in the front two rows, and my wife was saying, "Go to it, Shirley," with a loud voice, and, "Oh, good on you, Shirley," and so on, really egging Shirley Valentine on. The next time I went in to book for a performance, Alison Quiggin was at the ticket office. She said, "I really appreciated the feedback I got from your wife during that performance." It changed things.
I love it when the audience interact. I personally love it. Some actors find it really off-putting. I personally love it because it's theatre.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to sit there and shut up. You're supposed to be part of it. You're supposed to go on. I mean, obviously, I don't want you talking through the whole thing, and don't give my joke away.
Oh, yeah.
But I love that. If that's what's sort of required at that time, then great. But, you know, also, know when to. Don't do it all the whole night, because it can be quite frustrating for other audience members.
Yeah.
If there's somebody going like this the entire time, the other audience are going, "Oh, shush,
yeah.
I can't hear." But personally, I quite like it. I also like it. There was one time, I have to tell you, this is quite funny. So Ross Gumbly and I were on stage, and this guy gets up in the audience. He answers the phone. First of all, we hear the phone ringing, and we're like, "Oh, yeah, here we go." And that's the thing, because the whole audience, depending on the play, you can stop, right? But if it's the hard-hitting drama and it's fourth wall where you're not supposed to be there, you can't stop. You have to forget that that's ringing. But you can see the whole audience going, "Turn your phone off." And you can see somebody somewhere going, But this guy, he answered his phone. And then he goes, "Oh, yeah, hold on. Yeah, you're just going to, yeah, hold on, sorry. Excuse me, hold on." And down the aisle, and he came down the main aisle, and I looked at Ross looked at me, It's like, you going to take this or am I? First of all, we said, we stopped him, but first of all, we said, is this an emergency? Are you, you know, is somebody in trouble? Because why else would you answer a phone in the middle of a theatre performance? And he goes, oh, no, mate, I'm talking to my bro. And meet him afterwards. And we went, we'll be talking to your bro. We got down, got him up on stage. I'm sort of holding on to him. Ross is on the phone to the sky for ages in front of the audience, asking all sorts of questions. It was hilarious. I don't think that guy either A, ever answered his phone again, or B, ever went to the theatre again.
Well, well done.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
That does raise the issue about sometimes in plays there's audience participation and you wonder, should you sit in the front row in case you're dragged up on stage?
I know so many of you don't like audience participation, but then you actually love it once you've done it. Am I right?
No.
It is quite funny when there's a sponsors evening or something and it's the general admission and the whole front row is completely empty. You know, people find your seat, go and sit where you like, and I'm like, hello, what's happening here? Yeah, I know people don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not prepared. I'm an actor. Don't get me up on stage. No.
Okay, so is that second roof,
or
the original roof, is that asbestos?
So the asbestos that we've got on the roof, I have to clarify, is actually called non-friable. So it's not hurting unless you cut into it. So the first roof is, you'd probably know this, Graham, right? It's the Decramax tiles. And I think that's got the non-friable asbestos in it, correct? Yeah, and then the roof on top of that,
over the top.
As a skin over the top, yeah. But we're looking at coloured steel for the next one. I know, I'm so excited. You did hear about the guy who jumped up on the roof and ripped out all our copper flashings, eh? Yeah. Yeah, it was hilarious. Not. He ripped out the pipe for the hot water tank, so that started flooding everywhere. And then he ripped up all of the gutterings and got the flashings that was all copper. He's done it all over town. Yeah. But just, it's like, mate, for what you could have got for that copper, I would have given it to you. Then cause all that. That drama was just ridiculous and not on the stage.
Okay, any more questions?
Well, about sitting in the front row and the fact that you do research beforehand on who's in the audience, that's right.
Oh, no, not really.
Well, one night I turned up for Helen Mulder's one, in which she, the centre theme was not saying Pinus Rodiata, but Penis. As it should be, right, radiator. And I was deliberately, with my wife, ushered to the front row.
Oh, okay.
So she must have seen my name in the...
Maybe. If we need to pick on somebody, we'll have a look in the booking sheet.
Yeah, what I'm asking.
Yeah, sometimes that does happen.
Yeah.
Or we try and make it completely... Most of the time we make it completely anonymous... And then end up picking on somebody like Tangi Utsukiri, and not because they're visiting actors, right? They don't know who these people are. They won't know who people in Palmerston North are. So they'll go and pick on somebody and then realise afterwards, oh, right, it was your mayor.
So is there something special that you look for then if you say, who should we pick?
Yeah, somebody who's going, don't pick me. If someone's going like this, pick me, absolutely not. You're going to get in my way.
Yeah.
I want to pick somebody who's going to be...
Thank you, we'll do that next time.
I want to pick somebody who's going to do what I say.
Oh, you're gorgeous.
Not somebody who's going to get up on stage with me and go, right, you sit down.
Yeah.
I need to control them.
Okay.
Just one brief comment.
I know I'm engaged. But thank you.
One performance we get to during the performance, a member of the audience had a medical event and collapsed on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The performance ground to a halt,
mm-hmm.
and people tended to him and called an ambulance. The ambulance came and took him away. So the performance stopped for a good 20 minutes and then just carried on as though nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, people are first, eh? We can't kind of finish the scene and let them die. But that does happen. As an actor, there's always, they call it that 10%, where you're looking out for anything that's going wrong. Why did that light just move? Why didn't that happen at that time? Who's just, is that somebody who's just collapsed in the audience? This needs to happen or that needs to happen and it hasn't. You know, why is it at a different state? There's always that little 10% of you when you're on stage that is also looking out for the audience and their energy levels, so that you can turn to your fellow actor and just go, we need to push this through with just a look, because we've lost that lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that happens. It's live theatre. It does happen. We're all, I can say we're all trained in how to deal with the event, but we're told. Because you can't be trained unless you're a medical professional. So we're all, we have trial evacuations and this is what's going to happen if that happens and blah, blah, blah all the time. But until it actually happens, you've just got to go, right, what happens now? And then people have got jobs to do. But yeah, I'll absolutely stop a performance for somebody.
Okay, well, I think we've had a really good say, and I do know 50 years of Centrepoint. Correct me if I'm wrong, they keep saying this is the only professional theatre in the country.
In regional New Zealand.
In regional New Zealand.
So you've got Auckland, there's lots of different companies, okay, and there's lots of amateur companies, but you've got Auckland Theatre Company, Silo Theatre in Auckland, Basement Theatre in Auckland, you've got Circa Theatre in Wellington, Bats Theatre in Wellington, and you've got the Court Theatre in Christchurch, who are all under the major funding from Creative New Zealand, as well as us. And the Fortune Theatre in Dunedin closed, you probably know that. The Watershed closed, that opened the same year that we did. So yes, we're the only remaining professional production house in regional New Zealand, which is actually okay, something to be proud of, but it's also a real shame. And we're 50, yes, sorry, which is the second oldest theatre in the country behind the Court Theatre in Christchurch.
Oh, wow.
So well done, you.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. That's been fascinating. It was extra good to know all the other things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think they to have a seniors improv sort of series of courses.
Okay, so I did do that at one of the Julia Wallace rest homes at one point. They were too good. They were way too good. But we want to bring it back, the attic, because we've got the basement, which is the youth one. What do you think? Would you join the attic? Improv company?
Is that day or evening?
Well, it'd have to be daytime, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm in my jammies at 7, I told you.
Near a bus stop.
Is it near a bus stop? We've got a van.
Yeah, with wheelchair access.
We've got a van with a hoist. Would you be interested?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, let's do that then. That's a great thing about having a theatre that is small like this, with a trust that Graham Slater was part of for a long time.
Yeah.
We can do it. We don't have to go through rigmarole of managers and red tape. We go, oh, let's start that. Okay, let's do it. Then you'll be in the front row, won't you? Great, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
No, thank you very much. From us, we've got something saying who we are.
Awesome.
And something that's a bit more substantial in the middle of that.
You don't have to do that.
No. Thank you very much for coming. We really appreciated it. It's got us all motivated now. And hopefully there'll be more of us going to see your place.
Oh, I can't wait to see you in the front row.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That was really fun. I really enjoyed that. That was so much more fun than being at work.